This is September the 3rd, 2003. Thank you for listening to the email letters from some of the leading elders and pastors from the Mindanao, Philippine area, which is the southern part of the islands. The churches there are being driven from their homes and lands, and they are losing their income and food sources. Please pray for these, that God would make provisions for them, providing and replacing all that they have lost. We will strive to present it in the future, more of their letters here in this place. We must also suffer with them. Jerry. This first letter is from Joshua Gubal, Friday, August the 22nd, 2008. Dear Pastor Paul Jordan, greetings to you, to Mom Dorothy, and to all the precious brethren in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Although in my last letter I wrote to you that I will try to avoid in telling you about my personal problems from among our fellow brethren that are coming almost every week. But my problem is that I could not avoid people coming to my house for the purpose of sharing what problems they are suffering about. And it is true, because yesterday two fellows came to share and asked for an assistance financially for their problem. Brother Lisco came yesterday, and until now he is here with us. And Brother Edwin DeLag, the oldest son of late Brother DeLag, came also for another problem. Brother Lisco Abaton's problem is for his wife, Maritvik, who born a child last 21st in the evening. They need an assistance for food, for the midwife, and for vitamins. While the problems of Brother Edwin DeLag, his wife also born a twin baby, but unfortunately all died, including the mother, who is now in Angel Funeral Home in Davao City from Tuesday. Brother Edwin's problem is to transport the three dead bodies, but there is no available transportation from Davao City, because this week is very busy for Davao City due to a festival, and until today the parade and street dancing is still going on. They need to wait until the festival is over, and their expenses for food and others will increase. In this connection, I just do not know what to do for them. I never ask how much would be their needs, simply because I don't want them to rely on us. But I told them that I have nothing to do for that problem. Just help pray for both Elisco Abaton and Edwin DeLag's problems. Thank you very much, and I will write some more net letters shortly. And by God's grace, I remain your brother in Christ, Joshua Gubal. Here is Jerry's comment. This is only an example of the plight of these people. They are very poor and can hardly afford for food and very necessary supplies. May God supply their every need. Jerry. The second letter is read to present and presented by our pastor, Brother Paul Jordan. It reports of the trip of Brother Dexter Malude to Caboclan and Mason there in the Philippines. Jerry. P.S. We note that, and remember that 1,000 pesos is equal to approximately $20, as Brother Jordan reads this letter.
I wanted to read to you this morning a letter from Brother Dexter. It says, last Friday I was visiting the brethren in Pisan, Caboclan, Due to successive calls they made, they were crying while calling me on the cell phone. But since I do not have the means in going, tried to borrow money from friends, but I was not able to secure as everyone is financially hard up. I checked on the ATM and found out there is available money. So I withdrew $1,300 for my fare. I know that the amount is not enough for my fare and going, and besides, I had a hard time going to this place because the military is not allowing anybody to enter the area. But I insisted telling them that I'm a pastor and I need to visit the members. They allowed me, but I have to take the ride of the military officers for my safety. One of the civilians in the military station told me not to take ride with the military men because it would create a problem between me and the Muslim terrorists. I said, never mind, if God will allow me to die, it would be a blessing in my part because, to me, dying in this area is a great gain. I reached the evacuation center early, 11 o'clock in the morning. So what he's doing, he's writing, there's been an uprising of the Muslims in the southern part of Mindanao, and they have run a lot of the people out of their homes and out of their villages into evacuation centers. And many of these people are the ones that we've been preaching to now for since August of 1999. Says, I was met by members with tears in their eyes. They told me that my presence serves as an encouragement to them. I found out that they were neglected with the help or ration given by the NGOs, in other words, the government. I also found out that they have nothing to eat for their lunch that day. I tried to talk to the barangay captain for possible help for these people. The captain told me that for about a week now they were being supported, but the ration is limited. As I was looking to their situation, I was moved with compassion, but I do not have the means to help the brethren. Since the military truck is returned to Cabacan, I decided to take a ride again, but I assured the brethren to return early morning of Sunday for us to have a worship right in their evacuation center. Went back to Kitapawan with a grieving heart. I reached Kitapawan with no more money for my fare and going home to Digos, so I decided to spend the night with Ling Ling and Bok Choy. I was able to borrow their money amounting to pesos 3,000. So early in the morning, Sunday, I went back to Cabacan and I was able to buy a sack of rice and a little groceries. The people gathered, even those who are not members of our church, and joined our worship. God is allowing this war so that this people hear the message. After the worship, I gathered the members for a prayer, and after which I went home with a peaceful heart. Hopefully they could return home soon. But if God will tarry, it's in His will. I returned to Digos riding a cargo truck. In reaching home, I received calls from the area pastors of Noma, Kisong, Maknet, Lumayan, Matum, and Numasol. They were so sad that I was not able to make up my schedule to be with them last Sunday during their Sunday worship. They were waiting for me to visit. Some were blaming of having no concern for them. Since I was not around that Sunday, a camel cop pastor, that's a Missionary Alliance, was the one to give them the message. I did say nothing to their complaint since they cannot understand my situation. So much to my desire to go to Masim for me to see them, but I cannot do anything because I am penniless. I tried to call up friends, but most of those to whom I ran to were also in the red financially. Once again, I checked the ATM. Pastor Paul, I'm so sorry. I have withdrawn $1,000 again. Early 3 o'clock in the morning, I left home for Masim. Trip for Masim is very limited. But thank God I reached there early. But I had a hard time looking for the members since almost all of those who were in the mountains evacuated to one place as per instruction of the military. had to spend a couple of hours to look for the members. As I observed, I calculated that it reaches to 20 or 30,000 more or less. About 7 elementary schools and 2 high schools plus the municipal gym and churches still cannot accommodate the members of the numbers of the evacuees. After a couple of hours, I finally met them. The same reactions with Paisan. They shed tears while relating to me the incident of why they evacuated. Most of those who evacuated has not been able to bring with them their beddings, food supply, because it was too quick for them to decide. They were crying because they left their belongings. Their cowbell, goats, pigs, and chickens were left behind. The mountains, that mountainous part of Massin, Limouillon, were declared no man's land. I was moved with compassion while looking to their pitiful situations. They were telling me that there were times that they slept with nothing to eat. Drinking unsafe water was a common problem. They cannot sleep because they were not used to sleeping on cement floors with no bedding. Some were forced to sleep because there were no other choice. Some of them were complaining of having stomach trouble, headaches. The worst thing is no available comfort room for them. They cannot sleep during the nighttime, thinking that the enemy may attack them. I partly know that one of the causes of the trouble in this area is because of land conflicts between the Tivoli and the Muslim. This people used to be closely related. Mostly of them were members of the same family, but that relation cut off, as I heard from the members, that they were even reprimanded not to pass by their boundaries. This is now the worst problem because a highway area being owned by the Muslims. In other words, what they're saying is that because they converted to Christianity, they are estranged from the rest of the families. The Muslims then are, of course, are fighting the Christian population. That's basically what it's all about. Our country leaders, of course, are telling us that the Muslims don't hate the Christians. Right? There's just a few bad ones, like what's his name that they're trying, all been trying to catch, huh? Yeah, Bin Laden. He's just one of the little few rebels, but it's not so. Because with this, it becomes a problem to them. This become my problem also because I will be much affected. It would possibly end my coming to this area if solution is not made possible. As I look to their situation, I was asking myself, what could we possibly do to help them, especially the members? While looking around, my mind was made to focus on a young boy, maybe the age of 10, he was gathering a bundle of sticks for their firewood to cook for their meals. He was tying it with a rope, and while getting inside their quarter, he wrapped the bundle of sticks with his blanket. To me, personally, it is a strange thing. I came near to that boy, and I asked him why he covered the sticks with the blanket and why he hid it. In their cartons were their clothes, where their clothes were placed. The boy answered me nothing but shed tears. I understand that those sticks were so precious to him. I was wondering, to my mind, what will he use the sticks? If they have nothing to cook, can it relieve their hunger? I gave that boy a 20 peso bill, and by that he keeps on staring at me. I do not know exactly why. What is in the mind of the boy? He never says thank you. And I also do not expect him to express that. I did embrace the boy and say nothing too, just to let him know that I care. That becomes a great message to me, that at this very moment it is not the time to discuss about the faith or doctrine, for it is not their need, but a food for their ailing stomachs. While I was talking to the members, a truckload of goods arrived, and I found out that this is owned by the Christian Missionary Alliance, who distributed the goods exclusively for their members only. Also arrived were the goods from the Church of Christ. I know it adds to the pain in my heart, especially so when all of our members were staring at me, saying nothing but transmitting a big question to me, as if pointing to me, "How about you, Dexter? What are you to do?" I just looked up to God. I gathered the area pastors and the members from Moma, Keesong, McNitt, Upper Lumisaw, pastored by Pastor Flores, the Dalio Church, and about a half number of the members of My Tomb and Lemoyan. I just gave them encouragements, and we gathered purposely for prayer. Before I left them, they were asking if we could help them just a sack of rice each for the seven churches. "Will it be possible?" they asked. I answered nothing. Instead, I leave them to trust in God. They were expecting me to return by tomorrow and hopefully to worship with them this coming Sunday, the 31st. That's today. When I arrived home, When I arrived home, I gathered the members of Digos, telling them the situation of the members in Sarangani area, and I also challenged them to share something for them. Thank God we collected 500 pesos for this purpose. I'm not sure that's not a typographical error there. Pastor Paul, a sack of rice and ginseng is 1,560 pesos, but in Masim it reaches to 1,600, especially now that there is calamity in the area, and may be a small amount to buy for noodles, canned goods, coffee, and sugar, and also my fare in going to these places. Kindly include this in your prayers, that God will make it possible for our dear brethren in the area, and for the pastors who are in the frontal area, that God continuously keep them, giving this pastor's courage and encouragement while protecting the sheep in the area. Thank you for continuously standing with us, so much so in this time of need. Extend our best wishes to Ma'am Dorothy, the family, and the blessed saints of Klein. We unceasingly love you all for sovereign grace alone. Dexter Mallard. Been receiving letters also from Brother Arnie Emilion in General Santos, and he's essentially relaying to us the same things. So many of our brethren in those areas, in that area, are tremendously affected. We've been praying for the peace to be restored, and especially that once that peace is restored, that these people can return to their homes and villages, and by the miracle of God, that they might find their carabaos, because they depend upon them to plow with, and their goats and pigs and chickens. That's their livelihood. Those things are their livelihood. But what are the chances? Well, the Lord only knows. Usually, when things like that happen, and Brother Dale, I'm sure, and being in Vietnam, you know the consequences of those rebels coming into those villages and destroying the villages and everything that's in them. But anyway, to make a long story short, Dorothy and I sent $500 to Brother Dexter immediately, and I sent out a letter to our sister churches asking them for help. So far I've received one reply from Community Baptist Church, Brother Kyle White, and they've got a check on the way for $400. But I wanted to share these with you this morning, and ask you if you have a little extra that you would like to send over there to these people, then give you the opportunity to do that. Otherwise, this is a full set of the reports of my last trip over there, some extra copies on the corner there. I think, Jason and Betty, you picked up most of the ones that are there. I've got a set here for the rest of what you didn't get the other day, and one for Jim there. So, anyway, that's the news from over in that area. This past trip, of course, we were in South Cotabato. In fact, we were among the Tibale people there at what was used to be the Tibale Bible Seminary or school there, which has been abandoned by the General Baptist. But we do have many brethren. Again, some of the people from the Tibale tribe were some of the first ones that I preached to when I began going to the islands. Again, in August of 1999, we had a 3-day conference in General Santos, and there were many of the Tibale tribe people that were there at that conference, pastors and so forth. So pray for them first of all, and as we can, let us help them.
The third letter is from Brother Arnie, dated Thursday, August the 28th, 2008. My most dearly beloved in the Lord, Pastor Paul and Mom Dorothy, greetings to both of you and to all the precious saints of the Lord who fellowship with you in the most powerful and loving name of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who will eventually triumph and bring all things under his feet, as being with him forever and ever. First of all, thank you so very much for your prayers and letter of encouragement and comfort. We really need them this time, as we are facing so many trials lately. But our great God is good, and he sustains and protects us every day of our lives. In these past few days of fear and chaos among places near to us, to God be the glory. So many things happened lately. Yesterday we went to a fellow believer whose son died of TB. The woman is already a widow, and she cannot afford for the funeral of her son. So we built a coffin for him out of plywood, and we need to go to the city hall to ask for a place for him in the public cemetery. And we still need to pay 2,000 pesos, that's about $40, for a place there where the unclaimed bodies are usually buried. At least we are able to help this old lady to put her son into a more proper place. The other day we also brought an old woman who died in the hospital to a village in Sultan Kudarat because her husband cannot do it alone. So we went with him and brought his wife, to their home. After that, we also went home immediately, and we were happy because we were able to extend help to someone in need. May the Lord be glorified to these things we do for others in the name of Jesus Christ. One pastor friend from North Cotabato, sorry about that, together with his family, wife, and son, is now staying with us for a few days until the war in their place will turn to peace, because their very town was attacked by the Muslim rebels. At least we can take care of them for a while as the Lord guides and provides. And maybe they will go home the next day or soon, as the military was reported to establish security in their place already. We just pray for God's guidance, protection, and provision as we face these problems, knowing that it can still turn out as an opportunity to proclaim the gospel of the grace of God to the people who are in trouble, and also being confident that the sufferings we face today is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us in God's rightful time. The sovereign Lord is still on his throne, and he is in control, and everything still works, all things for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Indeed, Pastor Paul and Mom Dorothy, it was great and tremendous blessing that I was able to be in Guimaras, not only for my family, but for some very dear people in our church and place. My parents were so much comforted and relieved as they saw us brothers and sisters helping each other in times of need, and the need were immediately met when we sacrificed for our loved ones. I felt so much joy in my heart to be able to extend help to them, even if it cost something in my part as well. But financial difficulties cannot compare for the joy that it gives to my heart. And I believe that the Lord will help me and my family recover from it. Another great blessing is an opportunity to extend help to a poor widow in our church in Guimaras. Her house was also destroyed by the storm, and she had to find shelter in an old school bus, which was lying junk beside the school building. But the day after I arrived, the school administration decided to sell the old bus to a junk shop, so the woman needed to leave her home. When some young people came to my father's house and told me what had happened, we have decided to help the widow by building her a small hut made of bamboo and coconut leaves. So I asked some help from several church people, and we contributed small amounts until we were able to buy the materials needed. And after 2 days, the widow already had to have a small house where she can live comfortably. It was a very simple house, but we can see the joy in the heart of this woman. When we have a Thanksgiving fellowship in her new house, she gave a testimony that all of us shed tears of joy as we all thank the Lord for his goodness. The few young people that are with me that time have seen how the Lord works wonderfully if we give ourselves to him. Those who participate in the work to help the widow committed to continue finding ways to extend help to others as they felt the joy in their hearts being able to serve the Lord by helping others. What a blessing it is in my heart that until now my heart is filled with joy when I remember it. Praise the Lord, and to God be the glory for all these, because we know that we can do these things only through his strength and enablement given to us. Pastor Paul and Mom Dorothy, if the Lord puts into your heart to help me solve my problems with the debts I have, I would be very grateful. It was become so big because my budget in going home and also coming back has accumulated and increased and has reached to 22,500 pesos. But already was able to pay 3,000 to one person, and now it is 19,500 pesos. My comment is that that's about $450. I pray the Lord will find ways for me to pay all of my debts on time, because it will also affect my testimony to those people. I and my wife borrowed the money, And if you could extend help for me, it can lift our burdens so much. I believe that our God will supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord, and that his grace is sufficient for us. It is always very long, Pastor Paul and Mom Dorothy. I have so many things I wanted to share with you, but I believe that you are so very busy, so I will stop here and will write again next time as the Lord gives me opportunity. Again, it is a great comfort and encouragement to share our burdens with you, because I felt that we are not alone, but we have many brothers and sisters praying for us and understand our feelings and burdens, that wanted to bear our burdens with us. Thank you very much, Pastor Paul and Mom Dorothy, for listening and for praying for us. Your love is a great blessing and comfort. As always, it is only by his amazing grace that we're still alive and remain your brothers in love, hope, and faith. Brother Arnie. My comment, may the Lord bless you for listening to these letters. Please pray for God's people there in that place, yea, all of the world. He will soon return. Jerry.